Hi, everybody. Before we begin, I'd like to officially invite you to an exciting event that you've been hearing about for quite a long time, and the details have finally arrived. On April 6th, 2025, you are invited to a casual meet and greet with your podcast hosts, an in-person gathering for our listeners and society members at the first ever museum exhibit devoted to the classic Gen X album, Free to Be You and Me. And together we will attend the Free to Be You and Me sing-along, I just want to emphasize that, sing-along in the museum's theater, an event they've already held twice and it has sold out every time. Our generation knows how important this album was and they show up. The event is curated and hosted by the Eric Carle Museum of Picture Book Art in Amherst, Massachusetts. So if you've ever dreamed about a weekend in New England, this is your big chance. This is the Berkshires, that dreamy, bucolic, romantic getaway that you learned about by watching Cheers. If you'd like to join us in the Berkshires, here's what you can expect. A morning meet and greet with us, your PCPS podcast hosts, and a whole bunch of friends you haven't met yet. Some games and prizes, Free to Be You and Me trivia and bingo. If you want to study, just listen to our episode on Free to Be You and Me. You'll be the first readers to get a sneak peek at my new book, the sequel to Worldwide Crush, with book swag and advanced reader copies to win. We'll get a private guided tour of the Free to Be You and Me exhibit. And the ultimate pinnacle of the event, the Free to Be You and Me sing-along. So what do you need to do if you want to join us? Two steps. Step one. Buy your tickets for the sing-along at the museum website at carlemuseum.org. That's Carl with an E, museum.org. Step two, reserve your spot on the PCPS guest list by sending us an email or a DM. Then we'll send you an official invite so you can RSVP. You'll find all of this information in our weekly newsletter with links and also in our show notes. And keep your eye on our social media for the museum's Free to Be You and Me merch. I'm wearing my Free to Be You and Me t-shirt right now. If you're not able to join us on April 6th, we'll miss you. But the exhibit is ongoing. You can go right now if you want to. And it closes on April 6th. It's a beautiful spot, a beautiful museum, full of all the books you remember from when you were a child, plus this once-in-a-lifetime exhibit devoted to our generation's favorite album. If you have any questions, do not hesitate to reach out and ask. Thanks so much. We can't wait to see you, and please enjoy the show.
Well, the Sunshine Family was super popular, but alas, Mattel canceled them in 1978. I don't know. Steve must have said something offensive to Ken or like offered him a doobie or something because they were canceled.
Hello, world. There's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
Welcome to the Pop Culture Preservation Society, the podcast for people born in the big wheel generation who thought there was nothing more romantic than a long-distance dedication.
We believe our Gen X childhoods gave us unforgettable songs, stories, characters, and images. And if we don't talk about them, they'll disappear, like Marshall, Will, and Holly on a routine expedition.
And today, we're saving some of the most hooskerdoo-inducing Gen X memories we've shared on social media, as determined by all of the people whose minds we blew. I'm Carolyn.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Michelle. And we are your pop culture preservationists.
Popular. You're gonna be popular.
You guys, season 15 out.
I
this
know.
Is it.
I cannot believe it.
How did this happen? Listeners, this is our last episode before we drop some really great encores for you to listen to for the first time or again, because if you're like us, you have menopause brain and you've totally forgotten everything we said if you listened to it, you know, a couple of years ago, right?
Everything is new again.
I know. But while we're dropping our encores, we'll be hard at work researching and writing and recording season 16. And we're going to do some traveling to meet up with a lot of listeners, which we love. This is always such a fun thing for us to do. We're going to be in Amherst, Massachusetts, as well as Downers Grove, Illinois, which is right outside Chicago, in April. And we're going to be planning and producing more fun content. But don't worry, we'll still be posting daily Gen X memories and stories on social media. Did you guys like that segue?
Nicely done.
Because today is a bit of a departure from our typical conversations where we dive deep into one pop culture nugget from our Gen X childhoods and examine all sides of it. Today, we're taking on about 10 pop culture nuggets. This is going to be so much fun. You guys, I'm just going to say it. I love our social media pages. Honestly, for me, scrolling our grid, it's a huge dose of serotonin. It's pure happiness. When I see all those toys and records and images from our childhood, it's like joy on my screen.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. 100%. And those Husker-Doo inducing moments that those posts give us are just incredible. Like, here's a theory I have. I wish we had started when we started this podcast, like we had a brain scan of what our brains looked like and how we did some tasks. And then we experience all of these Husker-Doo moments where we uncover something that we had long forgotten and they're all getting dusted off. I think we're getting smarter. I think, like we said, we're warding off dementia. Mm-hmm. We're doing all these things. And then we could do like another scan halfway through and another scan. Now, I think we'd have more parts of our brain lighting up since we've done this podcast than we would have had before we started. Because I cannot believe some of the memories that have been uncovered, particularly as we talk in today's episode. I mean, it was Husker-Doo out the wazoo, as I like to say.
And I think the reason that the word that you just said was uncovered, and I think that's really important because quite often the things that get so much attention on social media in our posts are things that are so small and so minor.
Yes.
I mean, everybody remembers Happy Days. We don't have to remind you about Happy Days, but what if there's like something from your dinner table? Like a brand of silverware or a napkin that you use, and you're like, oh my God, these things that were truly trapped way back in the folds of your brain, and we're bringing them forward. We're excavating. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally agree. Before we had this podcast, I used to, you remember when Pinterest started and it was all the rage?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would go on Pinterest and I would search for, I don't know, something 70s related. And sometimes a whole bunch of other stuff comes up, like you might also like this. And it would be those things. I didn't know the term Husker-Doo at the time, but that's what was happening to me. I was, and I was filled with such joy. It was truly just like this dopamine hit when I would see something. And it could have just been, you know, the playground equipment from the McDonald's playground lands, your playlands, you know, like the big Mayor McKee, you know, the thing you crawled
the
in
grimace.
That was like the big hamburger. Mm-hmm. Listeners, today we're going to be chatting about a handful of our social media posts that have gotten the most attention from all of you. Now, these are the posts with the most likes, comments, shares, etc. And while a few of them absolutely warrant their own entire episodes, our list is already way, way too long for that. So we thought we'd give them some airtime all together today, since so many of you have feelings about these things and have commented by the hundreds and liked by the thousands and shared with everyone else in the world you think needs their synapses fired and a little bit of joy in their day. But social media is really fickle. We can post something that we just know is going to hit hard and go viral and we're all cocky about it, and only 100 people even see it in their feed. And then we can post something totally random. I'm looking at you, seaweeds, mermaids. And in 1 week, it can have tens of thousands of views and likes. And we gave up trying to figure it out a long time ago. And now we just post things that make us smile and hope they find their way to you somehow.
Yeah, there's no cracking the code. You just do what you do and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think when we post something that dusts off some of those memories for people, they're more inclined to share our posts, because that's another thing I noticed was how many shares a lot of these posts got, which meant they were going from our page to someone else, to someone else's page, if that makes sense. And so those were so interesting to me. It's like, what about this made it worthy for you to share it on your page? Like, you wanted people to see it. Or some of the comments are just a person's name that's tagged. So I would maybe tag, you know, a high school friend, because this thing that we posted about brings up a high school memory. And I love that. I love, love, love it. And I can't wait to share my post today, because these were shared hundreds of times. And I think, oh my gosh, who knew?
It makes it truly communal. It's like a communal experience.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's, I know that there's probably social media people and other podcasters out there that hire people to look into all these stats and to figure it out and to try to make sense of it and to, this is how you can grow your page and whatever. And y'all, we don't do that, just so you know.
No, God, no.
There's no winning that game. And mm-mm. I don't have that bandwidth. And also, we just have always, we go back to our first why. It's all about just connecting through joy. And so if randomly 18,000 of you want to share something, great. We're just like, we shrug our shoulders and move on. We don't then analyze it and try to figure it out because we just can't. We're just like, oh, that's so fun. That made so many people happy. So what we're going to do today is we'll each choose just a few of the things that we've shared on social media that have made the biggest splash. Do you guys like that?
Yes.
And we're going to just chat about them, our memories of them, why we think they resonated with so many of you. And we're going to share some of the comments on these posts that made us giggle. I have to start with the thing I've already mentioned twice because
and
you guys,
alluded to just, several times.
Yes. Just so damn random to me. The Seaweeze mermaids. Did you guys even know what these were when we posted them?
No. I think we may have been too old. So we're the older mm-hmm. Gen Xers, but there are a lot of people younger than us who were like, yes, Seaweeze.
Yes. Yes. Totally agree with you. At the time of this recording, the Seaweeze Mermaid post has about 140,000 views, almost 7,000 likes, 5,000 shares, and over 300 comments.
Oh my God.
Over 5,000 people were like, I need to share that on my story or with someone mm-hmm. else. So the Seaweeze Mermaids and Babies were released by Kenner in 1979 and rose to popularity in the early 80s. They're these tiny plastic mermaids with like a Barbie-ish head, kind of a bigger head than body.
It had real
hair that you could brush. And it came with like this spongy lily pad, which I think that with holes in it that the mermaid and the baby could float in. They also even had little pets. According to Etsy, you can buy the little pets. Anyway, they're absolutely adorable. And yes, Kristen, to your point, had I been a bit younger in 1979, I know that I'd have loved them, but in 1979, I'm 10.
You might be showering. You were starting to shower.
Graduating
at age 10.
To a shower, mm-hmm. though, it's big.
They're adorable. I'm right with all of you guys who loved them. Some fun comments we got about the Seaweeze. Nola Redhead 13 said, "My mom bribed me with these. If I ate my breakfast before school for a month, she would buy me one. I had the whole collection." Nora's just like gobbling up anything her mom puts in front of her. That's actually a really good way to get someone to eat their
bribery.
Breakfast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jenny Gen X 2.
Oh, I love that name, Jenny Gen X.
I know
isn't it cute? But it's Jenny, JennyGenX2.
Oh, you know me. Mm-hmm. That's a little wordplay going on. I love that, Jenny Gen X.
Well, she even remembers their names. Her comment just said, "Coral, Sandy, Stormy, and Shelly. I had them all."
Shelly. They knew who was Shelly.
That's
so funny.
I love it.
Sandy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't even
guess. You guys want to know the funniest thing? Once I taught in Vacation Bible School, and the theme was like surfing through the scriptures. And I wore this blonde wig, and I was Sandy Beach. My name was Sandy Beach. Wasn't I fun?
Yes. I do have to say, Vacation Bible School always was like the two times I ever went, it was a load of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Okay, can I tell you, that is like one of the hallmarks of my coming of age was when my dad came in my room. He said, "It's time to get up for Vacation Bible School, VBS. It's time for VBS.
VBS.
And I just looked at my dad and I said, "I'm not going."
Of course you did.
And he closed the door and walked away.
Listeners.
I know. She never went again.
And he closed the door and walked away. How about that?
Yeah.
Kristen's like, "I've got to watch Maud and crochet myself a vest today. I got big plans, Dad."
I don't have time for
Reader's Digest.
Yes.
Okay, a couple more fun comments. Dahlia Obscura said, "I had the red-haired one. Ah, the floating sponge. Didn't matter how her hair looked dry. Underwater, it looked like magic." And I had to share this comment because even though I didn't play with Seaweeze, I played with Barbies in the tub a lot.
Yes.
And so maybe this is relatable to a lot of you too. You know, their hair could just be hot, fresh hell out when they're dry. Yeah. But if you put the Barbies with the long hair under the water and like swayed her back and forth, her hair just like
went
like beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. So that made me remember that. And then our friend, It's Me, Regina D, told us, I had one. I bought it with my paper route money at Ben Franklin's. Sorry. I couldn't say it without almost laughing because that's such a Gen X.
Yes, quintessential Gen X. How do you say you're Gen X without saying you're Gen X?
My paper route money at Ben Franklin's.
Ben Franklin's.
I love Ben Franklin.
Seaweed and babies are here. Here's Sandy Seaweed, and she's not alone. She has a cute little baby named Star who rides along right on her mommy's lily pad. You can collect all the Seaweeds, Sandy, Carl, and Shelley, and little babies, too.
Seaweeds and babies for you.
Okay, you guys, I'm going to start with the viral post that actually gave me the idea for this episode, okay? Because blown away does not even begin to describe how I felt when I saw the incredible love that our Shakey's Pizza post from February 9th of this year. Yes, you guys heard me right. Shakey's Pizza, that quintessential Gen X pizza parlor that you all have some big feelings about.
Mm-hmm.
So our post, if you didn't see it, it featured four photos. One was the exterior of Shakey's with that iconic sign that said Shakey's Pizza Parlor. And underneath that, it said Ye Public House.
Yes, you know,
like
that's right.
Apostrophe Y-E Public House. Like it was for some kind of British tavern feel.
Yeah.
Too. It was just kind of crazy. And so the next photo was an interior shot of Shakey's with those thick, long wooden tables and the benches, if you remember. And the tables were covered with red checkered tablecloths. And there were like these Tiffany lamps hanging from the ceiling.
That like said they say, Shakey's I want pizza. This. I feel like those lamps, they also, the type of lamp that should be over a pool table, right?
Yes.
It's that same type of kind of,
Yes. And they're not also giving me a British tavern feel. So you got a lot going on here at Shakey's, okay? The third photo was probably my favorite and a bit of one of my main Husker Dude moments with this post. It was a picture of those styrofoam straw Shakey's hats. Like the ones that like somebody in a barber quartet would wear, but yet how that has to do with Ye Public House or Shakey's Pizza, I don't know. Not giving really tavern vibes to me, but so quintessential Shakey's. Yeah. And then the last photo was of a Shakey's menu. And so many people commented on the prices. So listen to this. You could get a 17-inch, that was the large family size, Shakey's special for $4.75.
Wow. Oh,
you could pair it with a tossed salad for 35 cents.
With Thousand Island dressing.
Yes.
And croutons.
Yes. Just like your grandpa.
And Bacos. And what about
Bacos?
Bacos.
Oh my God, Bacos.
Oh gosh, talk about scary. Mm-hmm. And you could wash all that down with a 50-cent bottle of Heineken. How is that
for? Or a pitcher of root beer.
Root beer.
Pitcher of root beer.
Exactly.
A pitcher had to have root beer.
Pitchers of root beer is exactly one of the things that people mention a lot.
Yeah.
So get this, you guys. This is how loved this post was. On Instagram, that post had 1,862 likes, 99 comments, and 893 shares. Okay, that's pretty impressive.
Oh my God, it's the shares. It's the shares that are so incredible.
Get this. On Facebook, we had 4,000 likes on this post, 317 comments, and 639 shares. And yes, you guys, to get ready for this episode, I perused every one of those 317 comments on Facebook and 99 on Instagram. And you guys had some really special Shakey's memories. Oh, my gosh. So I'm just going to kind of tell you what a lot of you mentioned and then share a few comments that really struck a chord with me. So a lot of people commented that they had their birthday party there. So
I'm raising my hand.
Either of you? Mm-hmm. I am too.
Raising
so
my hand.
Lots of memories.
We'll put a picture of my birthday party in the Weekly Reader with our styrofoam hats. With our styrofoam hats on.
Well, speaking of pictures and photos, you guys on Facebook, you know, you can do things a little differently than on Instagram in terms of comments. People shared Shakey's photos. They found their Shakey's birthday party photos. I was so touched that they had to actually stop what they were doing, go somewhere to find this Shakey's photo and take the time to take a photo of it and upload it to Facebook. It was really special.
And it probably wasn't handy. They probably had to go dig for it in the attic or the basement. They had to go through a couple of tubs.
And you know what else? And I'm going to be really sexist here and stereotyping, but a lot of those photos came from men. And I thought, God, do you know, I don't know that Andy could tell you where a lot of, I could tell you where photos were from when he was a kid or whatever, but.
Right.
That's very, that is interesting. I feel the same.
Yeah.
Busting our stereotypes.
Carolyn, that is exactly what I was talking about earlier, how we don't like to get so caught up in the numbers, but what you just described, that these people had to go find the picture, take the picture, post the picture, shows us how much joy that image of Shakey's Pizza brought to them. And that's what we're here for, y'all. That's what that's why we do
and
this.
Again, I found it so interesting that this was the thing. Because like you just said earlier, Michelle, we post all the time. And sometimes we think, oh, this is going to be the thing. Like we get so excited about it. It does okay. But then we get, you know, a John Sebastian or a Shakey's Pizza. And we're just like, where is this coming from? And then you read these meaningful memories and you're like, well, of course, because these places especially meant something to people and special things happen there. So a couple of comments regarding birthdays. One of our followers shared that his mom brought Shakey's Pizza to his high school to celebrate his 16th birthday and everybody was so excited. And I thought, huh, Shakey's Pizza made a guy when he turned 16 not be embarrassed that his mom came to school with Shakey's Pizza. That's how much everyone loved Shakey's Pizza.
So good.
Everyone was so excited.
Mm-hmm. You know and what Shakey's Pizza reminds me of? When you get pepperoni and pizza, and they're the small pepperonis, and they make like little grease boats.
Little cups.
You know, where they curl up, and the edges get super crispy, and there's a little bit of grease.
Full of oil.
Full of oil that I always take my napkin and dip it in. But some people have that giant pepperoni that just lays flat. You got to love a good pepperoni that curls up, and that was Shakey's.
Mm. You guys, honestly, we could have probably made this whole episode about Shakey's because I'm just starting.
Okay,
another woman shared that every year for her birthday, her husband drives 40 minutes to the nearest Shakey's, okay? And I'm guessing this is in California. We'll talk about the fact that there are not really any Shakey's anymore, but there are a handful in California and over 300 in the Philippines. Don't ask me why. I know. But so I'm guessing
going to the Philippines.
I'm guessing this follower lives in California. So her husband drives 40 minutes every year on her birthday to the nearest Shakey's and brings home pizza and Mojos. So many people mentioned Mojos. Those are the potatoes. Do you guys have any memory
I
of those?
Remember the Mojos.
They were like, you know, almost thick potato chips. So if you imagine if you like sliced a potato up and then they were like deep fried and really, really crispy. Okay. I think this was their only nod to like the tavern feel was like the chips. But I cannot tell you how many memories people shared about Mojo's potatoes. Like
now that, I remember the word.
And Mojo they came potatoes. In those like red plastic baskets with like.
Yeah. We probably weren't allowed to get them. I bet they had. I bet I saw them on the menu.
We were at a pizza place. Right. My parents would have said that. Like we're at Red Lobster. Really we were never allowed to order a hamburger. We are at Red Lobster.
When we go to the potato restaurant, you can get Mojo's.
That's right. So I was Husker Dude over and over again as people mentioned things that really were quintessential Shakey's. So I'm just going to list them and see what you guys might remember. Okay, Kristen, you've already mentioned the pictures of root beer. We had so many people talk about the silent movies that would play, like Laurel and Hardy.
Yes, they would show Laurel and Hardy.
Yes. And then there was, this was one of my favorite things, was the elevated ledge that you could stand on and you could look into the kitchen where you could watch the guys tossing the pizza dough.
Oh, my God.
And then, like, your parents would have to call you over, like, pizza's here, because you were just mesmerized of watching those guys.
And your parents were like, thank God, just have the children do something. Leave us alone.
I think I just added, like, 3 years to my life with just those two, with all the synapses firing right now.
Oh, you just get ready. I mean, okay, we've talked about the straw hats. Okay, do you guys remember this? Because I was Husker Dude when I looked it up. There was a Shakey's balloon man that you could blow up, and he had feet. And so I will, maybe post a photo of this in the Weekly Reader. He was, the one I remember, he was pink. So you blew him up and he almost looked like a snowman, but it looked like a pizza chef. And then there were these cardboard feet that you could put him into. So it looked like he had feet. I think when you see him, you'll remember them. And they might have been like a birthday party favor too, if you had your party there, but you will remember those. Of course, the player piano. I mean, who can forget the player piano? Or it played by itself, but sometimes there would actually be a piano man there playing. And you could give
or
requests.
Or a piano woman. Because or my woman. Mom made friends with the piano woman.
Oh, my gosh.
That's so Linda. I can't even tell you how Linda that is. Like, every time you go to Shakey's, Linda has to say hello to the piano woman, and then they strike up a conversation. And now they're friends, and they're having tea.
I love it. Mm-hmm. I think there are a lot of friendships were made at Shakey's. It was just, it was like the Cheers of our generation.
Yeah, it was. Ye old public house.
Yes.
There you go.
Right. Okay. And one comment we got from Terry, she Husker-dude me when she remembered that kids could go up to that piano and there would be cymbals and rhythm sticks and tambourines and you could play alongside. Yes. I mean, those rhythm sticks, remember those? You could go, or you could click them. Yes.
They're like corduroy. They're like ribbed, the sticks.
Yes.
For your pleasure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Several people shared that this is where they experienced their first. Huh, you might say their first what? Well, one person shared that this was the first time she learned what Canadian bacon was, because Canadian bacon was on one of the pizzas.
The Hawaiian pizza.
Yes, and she remembers, like, oh my gosh, and it didn't quite gel, of course, because it was like a piece of ham, like a small piece of ham, but yet it was called bacon. Totally could relate to that. Totally could relate to that. Someone else, it was the first place where they played a video game. And somebody else shared it was the first place that they had pizza.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Was truly their first time. They lost their pizza virginity at Shakey's.
Because you didn't make pizza at home.
No, unless you made it out of that box. Remember the box? That it was like Chef Boyardee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And basically the pizza sauce was just like tomato paste.
In a little bag.
Mm-hmm. I wish I could go back and remember, like, where was the first place I had pizza? Maybe it was Shakey's.
It was a good shot. It was Shakey's.
It's a good chance.
It's a very good shot. I also remember, at first I just have to say that when I get a craving for pizza, this is a conundrum in my house. We're like, let's go out for pizza. I don't want fancy pizza. I want a pizza parlor. I want a pizza parlor.
So many people said that, Kristen.
I am so surrounded by fancy pizza. No, I want to get a red plastic cup that's kind of pebbly on the sides for
pebbly,
my root
beer.
Yes. Pebbly red plastic cup. Yep. That's the litmus test.
And that pitcher of root beer, it just felt like you died and gone to heaven.
Oh.
Or I think you could get Coke and other pops in there, too. Mm-hmm. And, oh, my gosh, that was such an incredible treat. But to your point, Kristen, I think the reason that this post resonated so much with our followers was exactly what you said. It was this experience that they had at Shakey's.
Yeah.
And how good the pizza tasted because of what was happening all around them. That sense of, you know, community and family. You're up next to some girl you don't know, but you're doing the rhythm sticks and she's got the tambourine and all of a sudden you're like the Partridge Family. You know, I mean, truly, it was like, I don't know. That's kind of the memories that I have.
And I feel like you're right, because when I think of Shakey's, I get this feeling in my body. It's not like, oh, delicious pizza. I have like a an experience feeling. I don't even know
it's
what
a
we call that.
It's a place memory.
I almost feel like I can smell it and I can feel how I felt when I walked in. It's not like me just going, oh, Shakey's, they had good pizza. Mm-mm. I get this weird like vibe in my body. And it's, you're right. It's because of everything you just described that I had kind of forgotten about.
There you go. And so this is one of those memories that it wasn't just a local pizza joint. I mean, we had a communal experience.
Yeah, it was a universal experience.
And it touched so many of our senses. Like we've talked, the taste, the smell, the music, the sounds, all of that stuff.
You were with your family, you were with your friends. And I know I made friends standing on that little step stool watching them make pizza.
Right.
You're like, hey, you're my height. Like we must be the same age and like the same things.
Okay, we've got some more things to share. I'll try to go through this quickly, you guys, because it was so fun. And it was, again, like, I felt like I was getting slapped, like, Husker-Du. Every time I thought I couldn't get Husker-Du another time, I did. Lots of people wanted to talk about the bunch of lunch. Okay, this was the afternoon pizza buffet that Shakey's would have. And it was just the epitome of heaven for a lot of people. So much so that several of our followers who worked there shared that they remember a line out the door and around Shakey's to get in for lunch a bunch, or bunch of lunch, rather.
I think it works. Either way, it works.
Yeah. A few of our followers actually worked at Shakey's and shared the little bunch of lunch hack that they did. As workers, they would actually put their favorite pizzas out right toward the end of the buffet when it was about to close. So when they had to take down the buffet, oh my gosh, look, the Hawaiian pizza. Yeah. There's almost a whole one here. What am I going to do with that?
Yeah, I can't throw it out.
Yeah, you can't throw it out. Or you could pretend, as one of our followers did, that you were going to throw it out. And you go back to the dumpsters. And guess what? A group of your buddies would be out there and you would hand that to them. And they'd go to the park across the street and they would get to munch a bunch of pizza.
Okay, I just had, when you talked about the buffet, the pizza buffet, I had a memory come back, and I think I had a first at Shakey's. I think it was my first salad bar.
Oh, could be.
They didn't have a salad bar the whole time, but I feel like toward the end, there was this thing where you could go up and make your own salad.
Yes.
Well, salad bars were all the rage. Like, you know, don't, in the late 70s, don't think about having a restaurant without a salad bar.
That's right.
Stonefaith7 on Instagram shared that her sister signed their dad up for the talent show at Shakey's, and he won. He got a t-shirt, and he gave it to her sister for entering him. Don't you love that?
He's probably saying, like, won't you come home, Bill Bailey? Won't you come home?
And as we've said, a lot of people have chimed in with how much they miss Shakey's and that vibe that you were talking about, Kristen, the vibe of a pizza parlor. And Sally O'Byrne, this might be a controversial statement, she said this: this was and still remains the best pizza ever, in my opinion.
Wow.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is just really a sampling of the comments and love that that Shakey's pizza post got.
And that is a perfect example of something that we unearthed. And I mean, I'm not taking credit for it. I'm just saying it's a small thing that everybody forgot about until they didn't. Right?
Yeah. When happy days seem very far, you're greater than you think you are.
Yeah!
You're something else, Shakey's.
Shakey's!
The greatest pizza for everyone. You're something else, Shakey's.
Yeah!
At Shakey's, you've got family fun for everyone.
Okay, our next post is from this January. It's very recent. We posted a picture with a caption that read, "On this day in 1977, we all became a lot more interested in solving crimes." And in the photo, we see Sean Cassidy and Parker Stevenson, a.k.a. the Hardy Boys. This post had over 200 very enthusiastic comments from people saying basically some form of, OMG, this was my first crush, in all caps. Over and over and over and over again. It doesn't matter that we're all saying the same thing. This is not a game of who can say something singular that gets people's attention. No, that's not what this is. This is a perfect example of people needing to add their voice to a very special club. Like, me too. Oh my God, me too. We are together. We are the same. Of course, there were variations of Team Sean and Team Parker, but the point was the same. Gen Xers were showing up en masse for these two with stars in their eyes, then and now. I don't think that we can underestimate the importance of the Hardy Boys in the sexual awakening of Gen Xers.
Well, was there another show in those 2 years that had that type of pull for us? I mean,
it was just so many of us.
I was a little young, but it was my sister, and she had some pretty funny comments on that post because she still has her Hardy Boys fan club card. But for that age, you know, to be crushing on them, I don't think there was another show out at that time that was that appealing. So that's why I think it resonated so much with so many of Gen Xers that were of that certain age, you know.
Yeah, sure. It captured so many of us so quickly. I mean, it happened overnight. After that first episode aired, we were all in. And then, of course, Sean Cassidy starts releasing albums. And we're like, well, I guess we're going to get married.
They have him start singing on the show, and that's when his singing career took off.
Yeah.
And so you not only had the fun stories and you had them to look at, you then also had Sean Cassidy singing.
Oh,
and so is there anything more teen idolish about not just someone who looks, you know, like that, but then who sings?
Yes. And singing always makes you more attractive.
And solving crimes.
And solving crimes.
Yes. He's a Renaissance man.
Yes.
He is a true Renaissance man.
Somebody commented, it was so funny, that it was so frustrating that Frank Hardy left the restaurant or the venue or whenever Sean Cassidy started to sing, and it was just like Snuffleupagus. And Frank Hardy would come back and Joe Hardy would be like, dude, I just performed for the group and you missed
that was
it.
Funny,
I don't know where you're, I'm a real singer. And Frank is like, what? You sing songs? And it was just like Snuffleupagus.
Well, you'll appreciate this really fast, Kristen and Michelle. Mm-hmm. One of our Shakey's comments, believe it or not, because it all comes back to Shakey's, all the commenter wrote was Shakey's plus Sean, S-H-A-U-N. Like, that summarized their Gen X youth experience. That's all they needed was Shakey's and Sean. I love that alliteration.
Our parents would be so happy to hear that it's not like the love of your family. No, it's Shakey's.
All the books Sean Cassidy.
Yeah. Yes. No. And think about it. I mean, this phenomenon, like you said, Michelle, it was only 2 years. But this phenomenon that grew out of this show became the basis for a middle grade novel 45 years later called Worldwide Crush. Yeah, right? We can make jokes all day long, but that's a very serious cultural impact that these two had on these little girls. And boys. Mm-hmm. And boys, too.
Yeah.
And boys, too. They just couldn't say it. So some people, of course, had some really cute things to say about this post. Chestnut Hill Cabin said, so is this where my Dateline obsession began? And I thought, it's possible.
In a way,
it's possible.
Sure,
right.
Yeah. Crystallize said, I love this pic so much. When are we getting the 50-year reunion episode where they're still solving crimes?
Oh, my God. And they still are so, they're both still look great and
they're
are
both beautiful.
In the business and, doing great things.
I want this. I want this show. I want the Hardy Boys to come back. Even it doesn't even have to be a series. Just have
just
one show.
No, a TV you movie of the just, week is what
yes, just a Christmas movie or something. So, yeah, let's reach out to Sean and see
and it can be tongue
what he
cheek.
Thinks about that.
Make it as silly as you want. We'll laugh. We'll laugh along with you. And in this carousel of pictures, Michelle had included a picture of her sister Melanie's Hardy Boys fan club membership card, which looks like a legit credit card. It's for real. It has it's plastic. Her name is embossed on it. It is the real thing. And Melanie commented, thanks for including my fan club card. I still carry it in my wallet.
She's not lying.
And then Michelle said something. I know, isn't that great? Michelle said something like, you get carded and you pull out your Hardy Boys fan club card. Here's my ID.
Well, that would say how old we were for sure,
That's
right?
That's true. I'm definitely old enough to drink.
That's true. Okay, this next post is a little bit of a divisive post every time we share, which I cannot for the life of me understand, but it's always a crowd pleaser. So I do try to post this about twice a year. And I'm talking about that granola eating, Birkenstock wearing, craft making, hippie doll family that goes by the last name Sunshine.
Share that sunshine country feeling with the Sunshine family. Sharing happy times and fun times, living natural and free. Share true love and devotion. Sunshine country style. Baby and daddy and mommy too.
We're in a sunshine family smile.
Doing things together with sunshine family. Makes the fun shine on in sunshine country.
The Sunshine Family dolls come with an idea book of things to make. From Mattel.
I loved my Sunshine family. I still have my mine sitting on a shelf in my childhood museum. And after my sister played with them, I played with them. My own girls played with them. Let me tell you, they look like they've been smoking a lot of weed. Their hands all disheveled.
Exactly right.
They're missing like a clothing item. I should put a picture on social
their
media.
Their pupils
this week.
Are huge.
Yeah, they look real. They look real rough. They've been ridden hard and put away wet. So to remind you, the Sunshine Family was released by Mattel in 1974, hot on the heels of the Age of Aquarius, and were made to be a socially responsible alternative to Barbie. So instead of giant dream homes and race cars, the Sunshine Family lived a much simpler life. Steve, Steffi, and Baby Sweets owned a craft store. They rode a Surrey bicycle. They wore clothes that looked like they were made out of hemp. Right?
Flower
and
sex.
They came with patterns, like, because a lot of people share how their grandmothers would sew the Sunshine Family clothes for their their dolls because they had.
You could have just taken a little bit of burlap and a little bit of twine and tied it around them, and they would have fit right in. So Mattel used this craft angle throughout the initial line and its expansion. So the original trio, like I said, if you didn't ever know, they're Steve, Steffi, and Baby Sweets, and they were packaged together with a little paper booklet that outlined craft activities that you could make from items found in your own home. Like you could make them a little table from an empty tuna can and things like that. And activity booklets were included in almost all of the play sets that came that were also sold. And a series of real wood craft kits were also released that encouraged the kids to assemble the add-ons for the family. That's such a cute idea, I think. It's very Girl Scouty, isn't it?
It is very Girl Scouty, yeah.
Like there should have been a Sunshine Family badge that you got for assembling one of the
cookies.
And a lot of people that comment remember specifically the craft aspect of the Sunshine Family. There were also paper dolls and coloring books. Well, the Sunshine Family was super popular, but alas, Mattel canceled them in 1978. I don't know. Steve must have said something offensive to Ken or like offered him a doobie or something because they were canceled. So anytime we post pictures of any of the dolls or the sets, it's roughly about an 80-20 split on who loved them and who was creeped out by them. However, anytime we post a picture of Steve and Steffi split screened with a picture of Mary Ingalls and her husband, Adam, because they are doppelgangers. No. People go crazy. And I think it's about time for this post to happen again. So I'm going to do it in the next week or two. And if you guys have never seen that post, just right now, just go look at a picture of Mary Ingalls and her husband, Adam. They look exactly like Steve and Steffi Sunshine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's creepy. Yeah.
So here are some comments from the latest Sunshine Family post. One of the happiest memories of my childhood. Rita says, the grandpa vibes Will Ferrell. She's not wrong. Current Will Ferrell. The grandpa, you guys creeped me out. Mm-hmm. Creeped me out. Rita also says, their eyeballs came out. I used to pop and mix them so everyone looked like David Bowie.
No. Oh, my God.
Because
I did not know this.
Because Steffi has blue eyes, and Steve, I think, has brown eyes, so you could give him one of
these. This is not okay. Why would they even make them like that? Why?
Someone said, I loved playing with the Sunshine Family in their cool house while listening to my favorite John Denver album. It was my vibe all day. Oh, that was Kath who said that. I mean, come on. How can you not listen to John
Denver?
That's
adorable.
When you're playing Sunshine Family.
Gosh, we lived in such a great time.
I know.
Sorry, I'm being
kidding.
Very...
It's so true.
Yeah.
And many people tell us how they recently found Sunshine Family dolls on eBay and bought them for themselves. Like
they
now.
Want them.
And you know what? We love that. And you guys know people will comment a lot too, almost apologetically, like, oh, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I just bought myself that on eBay. And I always respond,
Make yourself happy.
And say, we completely support that. Like, I mean, look 100%. At right now, listeners, we're all sitting in our childhood museums. Right now, we're all surrounded literally by toys.
Behind us. That's right. Let's just say that to our listeners. Like, here's your prescription. This is your call to action this week.
Yes.
Is to go on eBay, go to a thrift store, and find one toy or book or cassette or album.
Would a ViewMaster make you happy?
Yes.
A Spirograph?
Just get it. Yeah. That dopamine hit is worth it, you guys.
We
know from experience for sure. Hey, listeners, it's Carolyn. And I wanted to check in. It's 2025, you guys. How's everybody feeling? Well, I know for me, sometimes all of these hormonal changes that many of us are going through can be a real pain. And while there are natural hormonal changes that are going on through our bodies, did you know that there are also more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now? Yes, disruptors that can affect actually how our hormones function. They're in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare. And they all mess with our hormones. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through all of this anymore because now there's Hormone Harmony. And you've heard me talk about it. It's a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages.
You've heard me talk about how that menopause-induced brain fog has really messed with me at times. But I've really noticed a difference since I've taken Hormone Harmony. And even my sleep habits have gotten better. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is truly dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means they only use science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality. And we are so excited to partner with Hormone Harmony. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PCPS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PCPS for 15% off today.
Hello, listeners. Today's episode is brought to you by Armoire, the clothing rental and return company that Carolyn and Michelle and I have been using for just a little over 6 months now. Armoire makes getting dressed easy and a lot more fun. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build a more exciting wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz, select items you like, and the clothes show up at your door in just 2 days. Then, when you're ready for something different, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. In the past, I've fallen victim to the fast fashion addiction. It truly is an addiction, grabbing that cute t-shirt off the rack as I walk by with my cart, because it's only $10. But we all know what happens. That $10 t-shirt goes in the giveaway pile 6 months later because it now looks like a dish rag. Armoire allows me to indulge in higher quality materials that look so much better, and they feel better too. Armoire also allows me to take some risks and maybe try out a style I wouldn't normally commit to, because I don't have to commit to it. I borrow it, try it out, see how I feel, and send it back. Right now, our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/PCPS. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/PCPS to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again.
Okay, well, speaking about dopamine hits, you guys, I'm going to share with you our next viral post that probably, I don't know, shook me more than any, except for maybe John Sebastian. This would be our post from January 29th of this year, featuring a reel of the opening sequence to the Leif Garrett variety show that aired in May 1979. Oh my gosh, you guys, is all I can say. Hold your horses when you hear these stats, okay? So on Instagram, we had 6,400 likes, 289 comments, and 3,705 shares, okay? Wow. I think somehow this might have gotten in the algorithm somewhere. I don't know. But somehow this got shown to a lot of people, and a lot of people had feelings about it, okay? Because on Facebook, we had 10,000 likes, 501,000 views of that, 2,000 shares, and 762 comments, okay? Now, to refresh your memory, if you didn't see this post or you missed the Leif Garrett special when it originally aired in 1979, the video that Michelle posted starts with, first of all, a huge throwback for many of us, that iconic CBS special presentation logo and music that talk about dopamine hit. Yes, as soon as you see that and hear that sound, life is good, okay? Then it goes right into the introduction to this variety special.
The Leif Garrett Special. With Leif's guests, Bob Hope.
I've never been on a show hosted by someone so young. I didn't know whether to applaud or burp.
Marie Osmond.
About Leif is that he's young and handsome and very, very talented. And with all that going for him, I can't believe he's not one of my brothers.
Brooke Shields.
I like a man like Leif because he's older than I. Of course, there aren't many men younger than I.
Special guest star, Flip Wilson.
I've always found Leif to have a good head on his shoulders. Blonde, brunette, or redhead, he doesn't care.
Introducing Pink Lady.
this special might just take the cake on the craziest combination of guests. So much so that our follower and listener Mary Rice commented that she wanted to know if my, being Carolyn's, head was exploding when she saw all of these disparate guests coming together on this screen.
To me, it's like that question, who do you want at a dinner party, dead or alive?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. This is my dinner party.
This is it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember Pink Lady.
Oh, a lot of other people do too. I think we had just as many comments in this thread about Pink Lady as we did Leif Garrett. Okay. After we see the guest stars roll across and our jaws are on the floor, of course, because we're thinking, how in the heck did this happen? We see some footage of girls screaming at a concert, Leif singing at a concert, and then him riding a horse while carrying the Texas state flag in the Houston Rodeo.
Oh my God.
Which I've been to those concerts at rodeo, and that's the people that can do that, because you have to be and the flag is big, and then you're holding the horse reins with the other hand. It's like you have to be kind of talented.
So Leif is actually doing that.
He is actually doing that.
Wow.
It was a lot. Granted, this is just the introduction to the special. This isn't the special itself or anything that people are reacting to.
People loved this special.
Well, yes. They either loved or thought it was super disturbing kind of a thing.
Oh.
But it was so 1979. And one of our commenters said, and I thought this was so so true, is that these were the times when we as kids were fully aware of our parents' generations, actors, and comedians.
We
knew who our parents liked. So that we knew Bob Hope, and we knew Glenn Campbell, and we knew Flip Wilson. And today, I'm not sure Grace, maybe, when she was in middle school, could have told you all the people that I held up as funny comedians or singers that I listened to. But we knew. I mean, I knew Steve and Edie Gourmet.
We knew who Frank Sinatra was.
Right.
We knew who our grandparents listened to and watched. We knew who Milton Berle was. My grandma loved Milton Berle. Lawrence Welk, for God's
sake. Lawrence Welk.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Yeah, those were the days, my friends.
I know.
I loved this comment that someone wrote. He said, "Where's Ruth Buzzy?" And then someone replied to that comment, "Well, I guess Shields and Yarnell had a prior gig as well." And somebody in our comments did mention, and I don't remember this because I wasn't a huge Chips fan, although I did watch the disco episode, but Leif Garrett had a episode that he starred in on Chips.
Oh, I
don't remember
that,
but somebody put that in our comments. Before I get into this anymore, I wanted to start by recognizing that this might be a little hard for Kristen because, we learned about her feelings toward Leif when she discussed his needs in the very special episode of Family. But Kristen, you will be so glad to know that you're not alone in those feelings.
Okay,
we had Laura Deal who commented, "I never liked him after he made Buddy cry." And
that comment
got 100 likes. So, for a comment to get that many likes, that's huge.
He gave her a tummy ache.
Feelings
he gave
about
Buddy
Zach.
A tummy ache.
They did.
Yeah.
So some people wrote off Leif right after that episode of Family and never looked back. A lot of our commenters that said it was their crush also said that along with Leif hanging on their walls, they also had posters of Peter Frampton. And I thought, I can see that
connection. I never put that together before. Like their older sister had Peter Frampton. They have Leif Garrett. They bring them together.
They've got the hair and
two peas in a pod.
Right. But Lisa LeMay, one of our followers, actually took her crush to the next level. She named her first son Leif.
No way.
And she wrote, "It was a blood prick, pinky swear, and solemn oath with my next door neighbor and best friend when we were 12. And I had the first son."
She has a lot of integrity. She sticks to her promises.
One really funny story that a follower shared was when he was 16, he was a doppelganger for Leif Garrett. And Leif Garrett was going to the Washington State Fair. He was going to be there. And that's where this follower lived. And he convinced his friend to go to the fair with him. And they were going to pretend that he was Leif Garrett or Leif Garrett's brother. And they did. Okay. And they got braver each time. Like people would be whispering. And then he'd say, "Well, I'm Leif Garrett's brother." And all these girls were coming up to him. They got basically, I'm going to fast forward, behind three levels of security where they got right up to a bodyguard person, and they were saying, oh, I'm Leif Garrett's brother. I want to say hi to him. And they're like, where's your pass? Oh, I left it in the car. Okay. So he got through several levels of security. And then finally they said, hold on. Okay. And they brought out Leif Garrett's manager to these guys. And Leif Garrett's manager said, Leif doesn't have any brothers. And with that, security came and got them. But because security, and I guess the police eventually were escorting them out of the state park or out of the state fair, because Leif's manager was like, get these guys out of here. They're like trouble. And so the security and then police walk them out through the state fair. Well, what do you think people are going to think? That they might be. Oh, he might be actually Leif Garrett. So, you know, they get escorted out and the police officer says, get out of here. I don't want to see you back here again. Well, he said, I'm, you know, 15, 16. What do you think we're going to do? We're going to go right back there and go in there again. And so they went in again and, you know, hoopla or whatever. But it was so funny. And then, and this was so crazy serendipitous, he shares in the story that he was in a photography class with his crush, okay? And they're in the dark room and she's developing photos. And she had been at that concert and she has a photo that she's developing in there. And he and his friend are in the background of the photo when they're like talking to one of the security guards.
Weird.
It's crazy. I mean, it was so crazy.
Wow.
I love that story. Okay, but I'm not done yet, everybody, because I think the funniest comments weren't even about Leif, you guys. They were about Pink Lady. Okay. Now, I'm going to just do a quick refresh for everyone because I'd forgotten about Pink Lady until I did a little deep dive. Okay. Pink Lady was a pop duo from Japan. So they were very popular in Japan. I think had one, maybe two hits here, but this was on like the rise of their career. But so many comments were saying, where's Jeff? Like, I see Pink Lady, but where's Jeff? Huh. I had no idea what they were talking about, so I had to look it up. Well, evidently, Pink Lady and Jeff was a very short-lived variety show on NBC, okay?
Oh, my God.
Jeff Altman was a comedian. Fred Silverman, who was the NBC guy at the time, thought that these two cute girls who couldn't really speak English, it would be kind of entertaining to watch them try to fumble their way through with the comedian,
right? Oh, my God.
But they would also cover some of the, you know, top 10 hits of the day in the variety show. And so they got this variety show, and Sid and Marty Croft actually produced it, okay? So we've got, you know, the Brady Bunch Hour, Donny and Marie, and now we've got Pink Lady and Jeff. Sid and Marty Croft were kind of disappointed when they found out that Pink Lady really could speak no English. So it was going to be really hard to figure out how they were going to weave them into the show. So basically, they were in a few sketches, but mostly they were covering pop songs.
This is my recollection of, like, I remember watching it and feeling awkward. And it was because nobody could speak English. And my feeling is that they were on TV a lot, but they never got traction, right? Like, the machine was working to launch them, but they couldn't quite get them off the ground.
Right. And there were a lot of reasons that this series did not go past 5 episodes, okay? Because they were super popular in Japan. So they had to be like flying back to Japan for concerts. So filming, you know, having them on site to film, and they were, you know, never really took off here. But with all of that said, rabbit hole digging, you guys just have to hear. If we thought that the Leif Garrett special had crazy guests, nothing, and I mean nothing, compares to the lineup that Pink Lady and Jeff had for their 5 episodes. So I'm going to just read you who the guests were, and I might tell you a little bit about what they did. But in our very first episode, we had Burt Parks, Sherman Hemsley, and Blondie. Blondie actually was not physically there. They played Blondie's video. So they played a music video. This was March 1st, 1980. Okay. So Leif had them on right when they were starting to rise. And I guess Fred Silverman saw them on CBS and said, I'm bringing Pink Lady over to NBC and I'm going to pair them with Burt Parks. And if you guys don't remember, all I remember him is from Miss America.
Miss America.
Sherman Hemsley and Blondie's video. Then for episode 2, hold your horses. We've got Larry Hagman, Sid Caesar, Donny Osmond, and Teddy Pendergrass. Okay. I mean, come on here. So we've got Donny Osmond and Pink Lady actually collaborate, and they sing together, We Are Family. And Teddy Pendergrass and Pink Lady sing on Broadway. And they have a few other little skits they do. Okay. And can we top the guest we had on episode 2. Well, maybe we'll try with Greg Evigan, Hugh Hefner, and Cheap Trick.
It's like they always have an old guy, like, a new guy, and a musical guest.
Isn't that like a theme that we found?
Mm-hmm. It's like a game of F, Mary, Kill, all these uh-huh. lists are.
If somebody's out there is going to be like, who's F, Mary, Kill?
No.
We can't say that word.
Yeah, make we can. With,
make whoopee.
Yeah.
You know, make whoopee, marry, or kill. In that lineup, it's I know exactly who I'm going to be making whoopee with.
Hugh Hefner.
Well, how about this lineup? Lauren Green, Sid Caesar, Florence Henderson, and we got Blondie again coming back.
That's an older crowd.
Last episode that aired had Jerry Lewis, Red Buttons, and Alice Cooper.
No, what? No. Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, kill.
Who did that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Actually, I'm going to retract what I said. I'd probably marry Alice Cooper because we know from Sean's interview with him, he's a super nice guy. And he, when I grew up and lived in Arizona all those years, he is local, I think, Arizona. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he still is. But that's all we ever heard is like what a just generally nice guy mm-hmm. he is. His stage persona wasn't my thing. But so I'm going to retract what I just said and I'll go with Mary. I'm going to go with Mary, Alice Cooper.
Oh, and a very good golfer. Mm-hmm. I've heard.
That is true.
Okay, that's all I got to say about that. So, I know. You guys, I had so much fun with that. I got to tell you.
Pink Lady, man, bringing it back. Okay, here's another post that went viral. This was also in January, just recently. We posted a picture of a true icon from the quintessential 70s home. And this is the bunch of glass grapes sitting on your coffee table.
That are coated in like a quarter inch of dust.
Yes, yes. And they're super heavy. Do not drop them. They will break
a toe. They are very dangerous.
This is, it's amazing how you take this one artifact that has literally no meaning and you can have thousands of people going, me too, me too, me too, me too. Who knew, right? Here's just a little description of what I'm talking about from a woman named Molly Young, who just says it perfectly. She has a blog called winezine.co, and here's what she said. Consider the decorative glass table grape. Perhaps you have spotted one at an aunt's house or languishing in a garage sale. Okay, first, I can't tell you how many people said they were at their aunt's house. It was always at their aunt's house. The decorative table grape is a paradigm of something objectively beautiful, colorful, nature-inspired, but functionally useless and bankrupt of meaning. They're an aged fad, as obsolescent as a paperweight or a rotary phone, but without even the defense of bygone purpose. When did table grapes become a thing, and when did they cease to be one? Yeah, I want to know too. What is that all about? So here is what I learned.
Oh, yay.
Fake food has always been popular, but fake fruit was the fake food darling from like the 1940s to the 1970s. And the glass grapes were really at their peak during the early 70s, which is why we all remember them. And it may have started with blown glass fruit, which was super popular in the 50s and the 60s, especially after World War II, when it was more affordable for middle-class people to travel abroad to Europe. And American tourists would often return home from Europe, especially Italy, with glass apples or pears as souvenirs. And look what I have to show you. It is a glass-blown blue apple. Okay, everybody's going through this right now where you're moving your parents from their home into what, you know, senior living or whatever it is. And it's just a lot of things in the house that have to go somewhere. And at the end, your mom's like, here, take this, please take this. And I'm like, fine, just give it to me. Move, go. And so the blue glass blown apple, my mom was like, please take the apple. I don't care about the apple. I didn't give a shit about the apple. I'm like, fine, I'll take the apple. And she's like, you have to take it. It was your grandmother's. She got it from her best friend, Mae Montmorency. So I'm like, fine. I remember Mae Montmorency. I'll take the glass apple. But now I know because of this that Mae Montmorency must have gone to Italy. And she must have brought my grandma home a souvenir from Italy.
How sweet that Mae was.
Now I love my glass blown apple.
Look out pretty soon. Pretty soon your mom's going to be going, take the apple.
Take the apple. Okay, but where did the grapes in particular come from? Because the table grapes were in every home, mostly your aunts, apparently. And so this is from Molly Young again. This is where we find out about the glass grapes. She says, one study of the mid-century phenomenon describes a Mormon woman named Ruby Swallow finding herself in a crafty mood and collecting a pile of old Christmas ornaments. She filled the holiday globes with plastic resin and strung them with wire into a grape-like cluster. Her friends admired her ingenuity and urged her to display the creation in a homemaking exhibit. And this ignited local interest. A craft shop hired her to give lessons on DIY graping.
I would have never thought this was where this was going.
And the hobby went viral. DIY graping went viral. So table grapes became a 1960s Utah meme. This was something that every Utah home had in the 1960s. And then it went nationwide. That's where we get it in the early 70s. And she says this gift aligned nicely with Mormon ideals. The grapes had a store-bought looking sparkle, but could be produced in a spirit of modesty by hand.
Oh,
Sure.
And there were some really hilarious comments about the table grapes. Of course, nobody knows this obscure origin story of table grapes. All they know is that they had them, or their aunt had them. So first, Dax Rule says, my grandmothers were orange grapes. And it's true. These came in a variety of colors.
All colors.
That's
why? Why? I don't understand. Somebody says, oh, you were nobody if you didn't have the damn grapes. And then somebody else says, how about a bowl of wax fruit on the dining room table? Mm-hmm.
That's what we had.
Right.
Well, I was going to say, there was also that kind of rubbery, the grapes that were kind of rubbery and almost like sticky. Like they
would stick to your hands. And you could pull them off the branch. And then they would have like a little opening that I would put on my tongue. Yeah.
Yes.
You squeeze it and suction it onto your tongue.
Yes. That's right.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I tried to do it on my nose, too. Like it was a clown nose. But, yeah, it didn't stick as well.
And then Alford Michelle says, we only had the wooden fruit. In the wooden fruit bowl. So you have your wooden fruit in your wooden bowl. She says, I really feel like I missed out. But this is the best. This is gold. This comes from our friend Colleen. And she says, those grapes were next to the small loaf of bread that my mom covered in shellac and called art. The macrame owl hung on the adjacent wall.
I responded to that.
Bread?
My mother did that, too. It was like a craft thing.
It was.
And I was Husker-dude so hard. I think I even responded to that. And it was like real. Like my mom actually made – it wasn't a loaf of bread like Wonder Bread.
She actually
made bread, which, by the way, I don't think she ever did for us to eat. It was like a real thing of like she baked it in a loaf pan and then took the loaf pan out and then shellacked the hell out of it, I guess.
Uh-huh. We had the glass grapes. Ours were like a deep ruby red.
Glass grapes. Yeah, the icon of the 1970s coffee table. There you have it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love that.
Mm-hmm. Kristen, don't you have a set?
I have a set. I was so excited. I'd never really seen them in a vintage shop before. And we were looking for things for this photo shoot that we were going to be in for a local magazine, and they were going to do it at my house, and they wanted it to be like a 70s set. So we just went to all these vintage shops and bought things up. And when I saw those orange glass grapes, orange, again, there are no orange grapes. Why are they orange? Oh, I took those home. Mm-hmm. And they still sit on my coffee table.
I'm going to start looking for some to put on a shelf. I really like those. And I heard well, in an episode about our most viewed and liked social media posts, we'd be remiss not to mention basically every post we've done featuring all the Fisher-Price toys we grew up with, particularly the Play Family sets like the Yellow House, the Castle, the A-Frame, Farm, School, School Bus, Airplane, Airport, Town, Garage, Camper, Houseboat, all of those Play Family Little People sets. And as most of you know, we feature a Fisher-Price toy every Friday in a post we call Fisher-Price Friday. Get this, you guys, I did some math. I was holding for applause. I didn't get it.
Oh, sorry. I said I was impressed.
Okay. And we have had 214 Fisher-Price Fridays.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Our first Fisher-Price Friday was in February of 2021. And every single Friday since then, we've showcased a Fisher-Price toy from the late 60s through the mid-80s, and you guys love them. People comment that they look forward to Fridays now for an entirely new reason. Like, they wait for Fisher-Price Fridays. And of course, in the past 4 years, we do a lot of repeats, but it doesn't matter because we'll get the same people commenting about the A-frame that comment every time it gets posted because they love it so much. But the most popular Fisher-Price Friday by far, 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 has been this short little reel I made with the Fisher-Price Play Family houseboat sitting on the dock of our former, sad, cabin in Minnesota a few years ago with the lake behind it. And it has Christopher Cross's Sailing playing over it. And I just kind of ran the camera down the length of the houseboat. That's it. It's not even 30 seconds long. But damn, people love it. The latest time I shared this, which was last May, it had 250,000 views, 11,000 likes, and it was shared over 5,000 times. I'm guessing it's the combination of just that cute little houseboat, the real lake, because you can see the water behind moving.
It's like
and
floating.
That song. Mm-hmm. It's that song. It just, it was that perfect storm of stuff. I don't know. I love making reels with all my old Fisher-Price toys. You guys listening who have been following Fisher-Price Fridays for a long time know that the three of us have gotten together and played with Fisher-Price many times and made reels. Just a couple weeks ago, we shared the farm with a well, life on the farm is kind of laid back, ain't nothing but a country boy. And I'll just never forget holding the camera and Kristen like trying to run the tractor. And we're like, no, your hands in it too much. It's very serious cinematography, you guys. Very serious.
It's also very therapeutic playing with Fisher-Price people.
It really is. One of my favorite ones we've ever done is all of 3 seconds. We have a zoom in at the top of the castle and Kristen's hand, and it's the knight, and he just kicks the little boy with the red hat down to that dungeon flap, that dungeon
on the castle.
Thing. Yes. And we did it in slow-mo, so it's like, anyway, some of the fun comments on that Fisher-Price houseboat sailing reel. Someone said, I mean, honey, this is everything. Roni J. said, one time I was holding on to this, meaning the houseboat, one time I was holding on to this and fell down the stairs and didn't let it go.
It's that's like the baby. I got the baby.
Someone says, I used to play Poseidon Adventure with my houseboat.
You turn it upside down?
Yeah, I'd have one of the Fisher-Price people being like Shelley Winters trying to fit through the porthole.
Oh my God, stop it.
And it's comments like this last one I'm going to share that make us keep doing silly things like playing with Fisher-Price and coming up with all of these ideas for you guys. Anthro Chick said, bro, this heals something deep inside.
It's
bro.
True.
Bro,
it's this why we do what we do. We are healing
oh,
the world.
Oh my God. Oh, that's so funny. It is. It's the song with our favorite toy. It's just a balm. It's a balm.
It is. It's a balm.
Before we go, I just want to mention one other post quickly, and that is a Judy Blume post, because whenever we post anything about Judy Blume, it goes viral. People tag their friends like crazy. Our most recent one, which featured just a collage of her book covers, had over 31,000 views. Clearly, we as a generation have feelings about these books. We idolize Judy Blume. This is the woman who stuck her neck out and said the word period in a book for children. The first time ever. We were the first kids to, like, read about what was happening to our body. Thank you, Judy Blume.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yes. And it's very relevant right now because we three podcasters have been invited to host a very special book club event in the suburbs of Chicago coming up in April. If you live in the Chicagoland area, listen up, because we will be leading an Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret book discussion at Anderson's Bookshop in Downers Grove, Illinois, as a part of their banned book club. Judy Blume, of course, being one of the most banned authors in history. We would love to see you. The book club is on Thursday, April 17th at 6 p.m., and I do believe you need to RSVP on their website, so we'll include that information in our weekly reader. This book club is a very active, vocal, and engaged book club that focuses on books that are targeted by book banners, and that makes us feel very honored that Anderson's asked us to be a part of it. Thank you to Kathleen and everybody at Anderson's. This has been fun, you guys. This has been really cool.
I loved it.
It's sort of like taking the temperature of the culture, of our culture in particular, mm-hmm. our people, mm-hmm. right? What things are important to us, what things were important to us. And sometimes, like I said at the top, the things that were important to us are so small and so silly and so forgotten. They would never be honored in the Hall of Fame for cultural artifacts. Can you imagine someone at the Smithsonian saying, like, I present to you an artifact of cultural significance. Yeah. Glass this grapes.
Seaweed. Yeah. A
seaweed
mermaid.
Seaweed mermaid.
A styrofoam straw.
Oh, my God. Wait, we should come up with our own little museum.
A Hall of Fame.
That would be cute.
The PCPS Smithsonian.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, we're
Let's
doing
do it.
It. Okay.
Okay. This would be a fun episode to do every couple of seasons, I think.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I loved it. And we'd like to give a huge thank you to all of our incredible patrons. Your support means the world to us, obviously, and directly fills up the tanks we need to keep on trucking. And because of your generosity, we're able to keep bringing you new episodes, invest in equipment, and the subscriptions we need to produce this podcast, and keep bringing you quality content. We think it's quality content. At least.
Yes, we do.
So do our patrons. Also, so do our patrons. Because today we're giving a special thank you to these patrons: Melissa, Julie, Jennifer, Pam, Elizabeth, Melissa, Gail, Nina, Natalie, Lisa, Erica, Stella, Tracy, Christina, and Diane. And if you enjoy the show and you want to help us grow, consider becoming a patron yourself. You can find out more about the different tiers of support and the exclusive perks each offer by visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com, patreon.com, and just put Pop Culture Preservation Society up in the search box. And we want you to know that every contribution, big or small, makes a difference, and we deeply appreciate your support.
Yeah, and can I just say that I get goosebumps, Michelle, every single time that you read a list of our patrons, because I know that's just, first of all, a portion of it.
Oh, small,
but
small
hear
portion.
Hear those
yeah.
names said out loud, it just, we never ever take that for granted, you guys. It just, it fills our souls.
Absolutely.
And so thank you so much.
Yeah.
A few other things that you can do to help fill our souls is leave us some nice reviews over there, wherever you listen to your podcast. We'd love for you to tell everybody how great we are. Do not tell anyone. If you don't like us, just keep on trucking. But again, talk about filling our tanks. We read those, you guys. We share them with each other. Mm-hmm. Those reviews mean everything to us.
Thank you so much. In the meantime, let's raise our glasses for a toast, courtesy of the cast of Three's Company. To good times.
To happy days.
To Little House on the Prairie.
Cheers, everybody.
Bye-bye. The information, opinions, and comments expressed on the Pop Culture Preservation Society podcast belong solely to Carolyn, the Crushologist, and Hello Newman, and are in no way representative of our employers or affiliates. And though we truly believe we are always right, there is always a first time. The PCPS is written, produced, and recorded in Minneapolis, Minnesota, home of the fictional WJM Studios and our beloved Mary Richards. Nanu Nanu, keep on trucking, and may the force be with you.